Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
It's the motion of the ocean, not the size of the boat. It's not the places that you've been, it's the places you go. And the people that you meet, it's the people you know for a long time. And the guitar that you're playing, it's the song that you wrote. It's not the things that you'll be saying, it's the things that you know. It's not the clothes that you'll be wearing, it's how you wear them clothes. How you wear them clothes. Grab a lot of money and not no class. The sky could be sunny, but you're looking at the grass on the other side. The other side. Got a honey with a body like an hourglass. Spend the last half hour looking at another girl's ass. Whoa, you're a fool. Don't know what to do. I've been there too, man. Just like you.
And you're listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 477. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, except for these allergies.
The allergies are killing us because everything's burning up and dying.
Is that what it is?
It's fucking dying.
Because I'm not the only one who's having it. Like, my friend, I was having lunch with my friend Brian the other day. And I was like, I'm having allergies. Like, me too. I'm like, it started on July 4th. He was like, me too. I was like, my nose is running. He's like, me too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cold. Me too. Like, it's the same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's dripping into my throat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't feel sick.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, I haven't sneezed this much. I don't know when.
Well, it's intense, right? Because we've had this, I mean, we're getting a reprieve right now, but we had this weather for over a week, kind of across the nation, so no matter where you're listening to this from, record highs, persistent.
It was brutal.
Brutal weather. You know, most people hitting 100. I know in my hometown of Tennessee, they had 107. It's never hit that ever since they've been recording temperatures. You know, a lot of places in the South with these numbers, but yeah, I don't know. You kind of expect it to be 100 in the South, but you don't expect it to be 101 in Chicago.
That's what everybody was saying about, I mean, I missed this winter in Chicago, and they were saying the winter was so mild, but there were the naysayers who were laughed at, who said, well, we're going to pay for it in the summer.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, it'll be fine. And we're paying for it.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we've definitely had some beautiful weather.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous
now.
Today.
It's gorgeous today. It's been gorgeous. This past weekend, it kind of broke. So we all got a bit of a reprieve, hopefully.
But the bad part of it is whatever it has done to the flora and fauna is making me sneeze and have a runny nose.
It is.
So I have this summer allergy.
Yeah, you got to take this.
It's not stopping me, though. I went to the beach yesterday.
I know that the doctors, Klein, Slotin, and French, give them a little plug.
Yeah.
That they, you know, when I went to go see them, I don't know, like a couple of years ago, you know, I talked to Dr. French and I said, I feel like I'm getting allergies again, which is really strange. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I had allergies when I lived in Tennessee, you know, and then I moved up here and I was allergy free. And he said, you can develop after a time of living someplace, new allergies to new places. And you know, he was saying a lot of it at that time he thought was coming from mold because we'd had so much rain.
Right.
So like a year ago. But you know, the adverse can be true now. We are so drought. We have no rain. And everything's dry, you know, grass and some plants are beyond if you have not been watering. I'm trying to water and see if we can get it not to like cut your feet like shards of glass when you walk across the grass. But
it is dry. I actually read that something like, I don't know, maybe this is definitely going to be wrong, but there's something like 27 states are officially in droughts.
Yeah.
Entire states.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And the fires. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't heard even more fires happening.
I know, it's brutal.
It's been hot, hot, hot. How was your 4th of July?
It was super mellow because I had this crazy allergy attack. And so I actually had a super mellow day. Megan and I went and got some food and we were going to go to a cookout, but it was too hot. I didn't want to hang outside.
Yep.
she ended up going to the cookout because it ended, her cookout she was going to ended up being inside. And then I spent it with my friend Abby, who I've known since she was a kid. You know Abby.
Yes.
And it's a really big day. 4th of July is my godmother, her birthday, God rest her soul. And so it was always a huge day in my family. So I was a little sad. And then Abby suffered a great loss on 4th of July several years ago when I first met her, about 3 weeks after meeting her. And so it sounds like I'm telling a sad story, but it isn't. So Abby worked all day and she called me and she said, "Hey, you want to hang?" And I thought, "I do." You know, like, so we could sort of not be sad together, but the opposite. Like, we could both be sad and have it not...
Have to explain.
Explain and be around people who weren't sad. And as a result, we had a really lovely time. We went to Lady G and we got some white sangria and some, like, picky food. It was, my godmother used to call it pickies. And, you know, their truffle corn, popcorn, and, you know, some... a charcuterie plate, and I made a really, really lovely time. So that was nice. You went up to Wilmette, right?
I went up to Winnetka.
Oh, Winnetka.
It's from Winnetka.
You said Wilmette last week.
Well, it's Wilmette, Winnetka. It's like on the edge.
You lied about where you were, so I couldn't find you.
It's true, I did. I was actually in a water park in Wilmette or Winnetka. I don't know where the hell
I was. In a water park?
I was at a water park. I've never been to a water park in my life. It was like...
It's so fun.
It was so much fun.
I love water parks.
We had,
as opposed to miniature golf, which I hate.
I know, and Mylar balloons.
And?
I won't say the other one.
You can't, because if you say it three times, it's like Beelzebub, she might show up.
Exactly, exactly. But, yeah.
Beetlejuice, I mean.
Exactly. We went, there was just a big slew of us, you know, guys, girls, young and old. We had some kids with us, which was fun for the 4th. And my friend just moved from the city up to Winnetka. I think she has a Wilmette address, but she's on the border of Winnetka, Wilmette. I don't know. It's very strange. But anyhow, it's suburban living. But I mean, I don't know when I've jumped off a diving board, gone down a slide, like, you know, just lots of kids. And it was hot. And I was totally teasing because we all the adults, we all brought a different dish. And I'd grilled some chicken. And I saw you and Megan. I was like grilling this Thai chicken. And it was the hottest damn thing I've ever done in my life.
I couldn't believe you were standing over the grill.
I was cooking chicken for like 15 adults. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so hot. But we went up there and because we had made all this food for dinner. Because we were going to have a dinner and then go see fireworks. But we decided we were just going to go and have pool food. Well, I used to love pool food as a kid. Like food.
What do you mean, like hot dogs and...
Like, well, my favorite thing was to get a stinking grilled cheese sandwich on white. And they put the two dill pickle slices like on top of it. And the juice from the dill pickle slices would kind of run into it. It was so good. I always finished one grilled cheese and I wanted another one. And then I'd have an ice cream sandwich. I'd have like my two sandwiches. My grilled cheese sandwich, my ice cream sandwich. And I was talking about it. And my friend Renna was like, "Well, I sure hope they have grilled cheese sandwiches. Maybe I should bring my panini press. You're like stressing me out. But if you don't get your grilled cheese sandwich, you're gonna be so sad." Of course, we go, and they're all looking at what they're gonna order, and they're getting like cheesy fries, and there's cheeseburgers and hot dogs. And way down at the bottom is a grilled cheese, and it was on white, and it was salty, and they had a big vat of dill pickles you could put on it. I was so happy, and I had just been to the Jewel, or Dominic's. Earlier that week when it was so hot and I thought, I really want an ice cream sandwich. I haven't had one in years. They have none. They have every flavor of every half gallon of every ice
cream.
But
no ice cream sandwiches?
No ice cream sandwiches.
What are you talking about?
No, they had none.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. They had every Klondike in every way.
I don't need your Klondike.
I don't need your Klondike. I don't need your Dykes or your Klondikes.
I don't, yeah.
And, you know, they had like all, and they had all the skinny cows you could ever want, which is not an ice cream sandwich. It is, but it isn't. So I was so excited they had an ice cream sandwich. So I had my grilled cheese, my ice cream sandwich.
Nice work from you.
Lots of cement, yeah.
I just, you know what
so
I do?
I don't know, what can I say? Move to Winnetka, Wilmette. One of those places you'll...
Go to the pool. I just have my... I sort of wonder how other people do this too. Like, you know what flavor ice is, right? You know,
yes.
I'm obsessed with flavor ice.
You are obsessed.
And so I buy boxes.
I shared that with somebody, and when we had our cookout and you walked in with flavor ice, I was like, see, I told you he's
flavor ice. Now, I think that I am not alone in the fact that when you have one flavor ice,
you can't just have
you
one.
Might have six or seven. Like, I mean, I need other people to let me know. Please send us an email. Let me know the number of flavor ice you've eaten in one session. I think in one sort of potentially stoned off my ass session on a hot summer day, I think I had 10.
Wow. That's like a giant Slurpee.
A giant Slurpee or a big glass of Kool-Aid?
Yeah. A big gulp of Kool-Aid.
I love Kool-Aid too.
I know you do. You're adorable.
I always have Kool-Aid in the fridge. Although okay. Right now we have cucumber water. We're trying to be a little bit better about
hydration. I know. I love the cucumber water and the lime water.
We're trying to be a little bit more, just hydrate a little bit better. Actually, Megan's really good at that. I'm really bad at it.
You're really bad. I'm really good at it. We also saw the best fireworks. I have to say that Winnetka had some of the best fireworks I've ever seen. It was so much fun. We laid out on the lawn. We sat there with a bunch of people and looked up, and it was great.
I was going to go to the lake, but it never cooled down. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought, when it cools down, I'll walk to the lake and watch fireworks, but it never, thought.
It was hot. It was hot from beginning to end. It was hot from beginning to end. Thank God we got in the water park, and then, you know, we drank a ton. We played cornhole. What do you call that?
That's not what it's called.
It is what it's called.
It isn't.
Little bags that you throw between those two.
It isn't. To cornhole someone means to fuck them in the ass.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's called cornhole.
I don't think it is.
I think all the straight boys in Wrigley Field.
I don't think they. I don't think they do.
Cornpone? Cornhole? What's it called?
I don't know. I would be very surprised if it's actually called cornhole.
It's that game where you.
I know what it is.
I think it's called cornhole.
I don't think it is.
I call it that in front of a lot of little people.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't. I don't. I don't think it's called cornhole. And if it is, I'm so happy about it.
If it is, we're buying one for the backyard. And if my people over is going to play
cornhole. Like, are you guys going to come over and cornhole?
Yeah, I want to find that out.
Oh my God, that's really funny.
We're gonna have
that's
to
another thing. People, let us know. What do you call that game? It's that game. It's like a wooden...
It's such a rake,
and there's a hole in it, and you throw a beanbag
at each other. It's such a frat boy game.
But they also play on the ships, too. They played on ships.
It's not called cornhole.
I don't think it is. Oh, my goodness. Di is going to laugh at us so hard.
I think everybody's going to laugh at us so hard.
So, yeah, so 4th of July was hot, but we got through it, and now it's cool. I did go to the beach yesterday. God, it was so funny. Like, I don't usually go... You know, I'm a beach guy, right?
Yeah,
I grew up in the beach.
I know you are.
But I just spent 4.5 months
right.
at sea. So like,
and in warm tropical places.
All warm and tropical. No place that wasn't beach.
You hardly had any winter or cold weather.
No, I almost had none because even when I left, it was still nice here.
Yeah.
And so I'm not like desperate to go to the beach. I'm still really tan. And,
I know, I'm not, but.
So I went yesterday. I wasn't going to go, but I went and met some friends there. And of course, there were 100 people I knew. But oh my God, my friends always sit because they're much more social than I am. And I can be.
Just
weirdly
like to
enough,
chill and relax.
I could be, yeah, because I'm like a New Englander about the beach, so I always go on the opposite side of the beach of everybody else.
I agree. I like to go to Ardmore Beach as opposed to Hollywood Beach. I like to go where
but you can go to Hollywood because there's a lack of teenagers at Hollywood, which is nice. But I like to go to the other side.
Yep.
But my friends were sitting in the I mean, literally, like if you put a piece of coal in the middle of this area, it would be a gay diamond by the end of the day.
Yep.
I mean, the intensity and density of the gay. It was fabulous, don't get me wrong, but I got so insecure about my body.
What?
That I never took off my shirt or my shorts.
What did you have on, a muumuu?
No, I mean, I had on like jean cutoffs, like baggy jean cutoffs and a tank top, but I never like just laid out in my bathing suit because I got really, because everybody's body was so beautiful and I was like, I suddenly got super duper insecure.
You have a hot body.
I know, you're sweet. But it was weird. I don't usually get that insecure about my body, but I got this weird sort of social anxiety. It was too much. It was too hot. There were too many people.
It's too gay.
It was a little bit too much for me. I mean,
it's too gay.
It wasn't so much that it was gay. It was too much testosterone. Although at one point, I ran into a friend of mine who's another gay Jew, this really brilliant guy named Matthew, who's a musical director for Second City. And there was somebody else there who was Jewish. And so I was like, where? And I jokingly, loudly said, where are all my gay Jews at? And then suddenly like 15, 20 people raised their hand. It was brilliant.
That's
especially
cool.
These two. There were these two women. They were a couple, two lesbians. And they're like, right here. I was like, okay, I just need to know just in case shit goes down. I need to know where my people are.
Yeah, where my people are.
Just in case shit goes down.
Exactly.
It was really funny. I mean, I was sort of doing it as a bit. And then, but literally like 15 or 20 people were like, right here.
That's
I was like,
good to know.
All right, mishpacha.
Yeah.
Mishpacha means family for those who don't know.
Mishpacha.
Mishpacha means family.
Yes.
I mean, it literally means family, but it also means like the family, like the larger family, the tribe.
Yeah, the tribe.
You know, if someone's mishpacha, they're
we're
like,
in the tribe.
Yeah, they're in the tribe. Yeah.
I wonder if I'm in the cornhole tribe. I
You really need to stop saying that.
Yeah, I'm going to figure it out. We're going to tell you what's going on in the news. Then Mitchell and I want to talk about some of these news stories. Also, Richard Knight Jr. has his review of Brave, the fiery redhead. I love a fiery redhead. Fiery redhead heroine of the new Pixar Disney film out this summer. You know, these are not just for kids, these Men in Black 3, Madagascar 3, Brave little
No, I've heard Brave is there. Basically about Megan.
Yeah, is it? It's about our Megan. I love it. And then also what's going on in the theater. Still some great, great shows heating up the summer stages. So in the Mitchell and I'll be back because we've got some dish to talk about, yeah. Some people, and the process of coming out.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. The pro-LGBT organization National Stonewall Democrats announced its first round of endorsed candidates for the 2012 federal election cycle. United States Senate endorsements included Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Shelley Berkeley of Nevada, Dianne Feinstein of California, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, and Vermont's Bernie Sanders. Among the many United States House candidates the organization is backing are Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, Dina Titus of Nevada, Nancy Pelosi of California, Trevor Thomas of Michigan, and Jared Polis of Colorado.
Openly gay Republican presidential candidate Fred Karger has officially ended his campaign but refuses to endorse Mitt Romney. Karger said it's hard to endorse a candidate for president who signed that hateful marriage pledge sponsored by known hate group, the National Organization for Marriage. Karger is going to hold off for a while on the endorsement front.
In Washington, D.C., a 16-year-old fought off three attackers while being stabbed, and police are calling the incident a hate crime. The teen was stabbed three times in the leg, biceps, and back while being held by two assailants. Somehow the victim produced a can of pepper spray and fought them off. The attackers allegedly used anti-gay slurs during the attack.
San Francisco police are still searching for the killer of a gay man who was killed in June. Stephen Eric Escalon, age 28, was found dead in his home on June 12th. Homicide inspectors are trying to obtain information on a person seen leaving the area carrying a flat-screen TV, at least one computer, or a game console in the early to late afternoon of June 12th. There is speculation that the victim may have met someone for a sexual encounter through a hookup site.
Dr. Richard Isay, a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst who argued that being gay was normal and not an illness, has died at the age of 77 of cancer. Isay himself was the father of two sons who came out as gay at the age of 40. He married his partner of 33 years, artist Gordon Harrell, last year in Manhattan. Isay wrote works such as Becoming Gay in 1997.
In Florida, Miami Beach police are asking the public's help in solving the three-month-old slaying of a local transgender woman. Renee Rosita Hidalgo was found bludgeoned to death in her home March 15th after friends reported her missing to authorities. Detectives are asking area residents for any information that might lead to finding the attackers, confirming Hidalgo was found with multiple stab wounds, but not releasing any other details.
Facebook has just made it easier to announce same-sex marriages on the social network by providing icons like the ones heterosexual couples have long used. One of the first appearances of the new icons was with the wedding announcement of Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes to his longtime boyfriend, Sean Eldridge. The couple tied the knot at their home in Garrison, New York. Eldridge, 25, is the founder and treasurer of Protect Our Democracy, an advocacy group based in Garrison that seeks campaign finance reform.
The U.S. State Department has launched a text donation campaign that allows residents to donate to the MGIV International Response Equality Fund. Donations will help to further programs and initiatives aimed at advancing the human rights of LGBT persons around the world. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton launched the fund on Human Rights Day in December of 2011, where she reaffirmed, quote, human rights are gay rights and gay rights are human rights. To help, you can donate $10 by texting the word PRIDE to 80000.
In Virginia, Carillon's Roanoke Athletic Club has changed its definition of what qualifies for a household membership after a gay couple filed a lawsuit against it and more than 150,000 signed a change.org petition. The lawsuit claimed the club would not allow two men and their child to use the outdoor pool despite having previously approved for a household membership after finding out the two were a same-sex couple. The club's newly expanded definition of a household now includes a primary member and up to one additional household member that permanently lives in the household.
Keelan Godsey fell short in his attempt to become the first openly transgender athlete to represent the U.S. at the Olympics. Godsey, age 28, who was named Kelly at birth but has publicly identified as a male since 2005, finished fifth in the trials for women's hammer throw. Only the top three qualified for the U.S. team.
In world news, French President François Hollande will legalize same-sex marriage in the next few months. Hollande and his Socialist Party campaigned on marriage equality, and the party has a solid majority in Parliament. The administration also plans to ensure adoption by same-sex couples is legal in France.
Singapore has had its largest LGBT rights event ever. A crowd of 15,000 attended the fourth annual Pink Dot Gathering in Hong Lim Park. Pink Dot, billed as a gathering to celebrate freedom to love regardless of gender, rather than an overt political protest, has been growing in size and prominence in recent years.
Swedish Olympic gold medal skier Anja Parsson recently came out telling a radio program that she has been in a relationship with another woman for 5 years and that they are expecting a child. Parsson won Olympic gold in slalom at the 2006 Turin Games. In addition, she won 6 Olympic gold medals from 2002 through 2010 and is a 7-time world champion.
In Sweden, a man who was on trial for attempting to rape a woman received a lighter sentence when it was discovered the victim was transgender. When the 61-year-old suspect attempted to rape the transgender woman, he was unaware of her gender identity and that she lacked female genitalia. The judge said the intended crime never had the possibility of being fulfilled, so the man was convicted of assault instead.
In entertainment news, NBC is looking to bring a live broadcast of the new production of The Sound of Music to television. Smash executive producers Craig Zidane and Neil Maron are behind this concept. Zidane said, "What we want to do is to give audiences a completely fresh experience of this great Tony Award-winning stage musical in the form of a classic television event, combined with the spontaneity of a live performance."
Most, if not all, of Glee's cast will return for the show's fourth season. Series co-creator Ryan Murphy has extended an open invitation to all 15 regulars to return. Cord Overstreet is in talks to be a regular as well. The cast members' workload will vary to accommodate the large cast and make room for some new characters.
Jamaican reggae singer Diana King, known for hits such as Shy Guy and her remake of I Say a Little Prayer, came out as a lesbian on her Facebook page. In January, she shared the stage with Celine Dion at the Jamaica Jazz and Blues Festival in Trelawney.
HBO's renewed The Newsroom for a second season and vampire drama True Blood for a sixth. True Blood showrunner Alan Ball will step down from his position next season, with Mark Huddis of Nurse Jackie taking over the position. Ball will remain as executive producer.
Weeks away from the Olympics, United States women's soccer standout Megan Rapinoe has officially come out of the closet. Rapinoe, 27, did so in an interview with Out Magazine, saying she knew she was a lesbian by her first year of college. She also said, "I think it's pretty cool, the opportunity that I have, especially in sports. There's really not that many out athletes. It's important to be out and to live my life that way."
Frank Ocean, an R&B singer who is part of the hip-hop collective Odd Future, came out on his blog. Ocean's written songs for Justin Bieber, John Legend, and Beyoncé.
A Vital Records office in North Carolina revealed that legendary actor Andy Griffith died of a heart attack on July 3rd. Griffith, 86, was known for his roles on The Andy Griffith Show and Matlock, among other TV shows and movies. And that's the Weekend News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. I've now seen something that makes all the fuss over 3D worthwhile. That would be the fiery red hair of Merida, the young heroine of director Mark Andrews' Brave, the latest animated film from Pixar/Disney. Merida, or is it Merida? I can never say these names correctly. I think it's Merida, who is voiced by the talented actress Kelly MacDonald of Boardwalk Empire and Gosford Park, etc., doesn't just have red hair. She sports a mane that would have put a young Kate Bush to shame. Flecked with strands of orange, golden rust, Merida's flowing mass of corkscrew curls is a thing of beauty that moves with a life of its own, trying, it would seem, to keep up with its owner, who in true Disney fashion is a rebellious princess dashing about and getting into trouble, big trouble. Brave is the first fairy tale from Pixar, and with Disney as its parent company, one wonders what took so long. Set in the 10th century in the highlands of a Scotland kingdom called Dunbrook, the movie is a familiar yet very delightful hybrid of The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. It's not a musical like those two, but the dilemma for the plucky princess isn't far off from Ariel's and Belle's, nor Cinderella's, or scores of other fairy tale protagonists for that matter. Merida, a champion archer and dedicated tomboy, is horrified to learn that Queen Eleanor, voiced with perfect elocution by Emma Thompson, her very proper tradition-bound mother, has invited the sons of the heads of the other three clans to vie for her hand in marriage. Argyle naturally wants to hold out for love, so she flaunts tradition and in the process goes to war with Mom, and soon has struck a bargain with a not-so-friendly witch that goes completely and horribly awry. This being Disney, Pixar, of course, all will be put to rights before the fade-out. Brave is a charming and vibrant new member of the Disney-Pixar stable and certainly could be musicalized and join its forebears, the Broadway run of its own. Might want to reserve your tickets right now. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hey, this is Levi Kreis, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 9th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad. Modern family meets soul food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park. Immediate Family is playing now through August 5th at Goodman Theater. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com.
Oedipus El Rey is a sexy modern Latino take on the Oedipus story in its Chicago premiere and directed by Che Yu. Oedipus El Rey runs at Victory Gardens Theater through July 29th. For tickets, visit victorygardens.org.
Don't miss the best new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers of the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies and soaring harmonies give voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. For tickets, go to lookingglasstheater.org. Eastland must close August 19th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been. And now I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you've got no one to tell them. I was made for you.
Well, we're back, and in that time of news, theater, and film, I want to officially say it is called Cornhole.
There's an American Cornhole Association, and there's an end-of-summer cornhole tournament.
Ironically, at
Gaylord Opryland Resort.
Of course it is.
In Nashville.
That
there's an American cornhole tournament at Gaylord.
This is like the teabag thing. Like the teabagging. They take on
this is so friggin' funny to me.
It's genius. Somebody buy me a cornhole. I was actually thinking I'm going to buy one for our backyard now. They're really expensive.
I know, because they're like a big piece of wood. I mean,
it's a big piece
with
of wood.
Glory cornhole.
Glory cornhole. Let's just have glory written over ours. That would be so funny, wouldn't it? We could put in excelsia gloria.
This podcast is going to get away from us very easily.
It's already gotten away from us. Hey, I should say in our upcoming podcast, I'll be sitting down and talking and getting to know, speaking of Nashville and Tennessee, I'll be sitting down and talking with our new Windy City gay idol, Robert Hughes, who's got so much in common with me, which is kind of crazy. Hails from my neck of the woods, moved up here from the same place I moved up here from. So we've got some mutual friends, plus you know him.
I do. I do know him, yeah.
And everybody got to know him during the gay idol process. So he's going to represent us quite well. And he sang at the big Chicago Force playoff game. The Chicago Force won again this past weekend. So they are on their way to maybe being champions this year. They've come so close in years past. and to not score that title. So I really, really, really hope everybody will show up and support the Chicago Force football women's team while they have home games here in Chicago. And secondly, I want to give a shout out to my good friend Sarah Govins. She's been on the podcast a number of times. She's a playwright, lesbian. She wrote The Kid Thing. She also wrote FML, How Carson McCullers Saved My Life for Steppenwolf this year. And she was just named Chicago Magazine when they're doing their best of issue. You know, best actor, best blah, blah, blah. They had best new playwright, and that was Sarah Govins. And
yay.
Referenced both the shows we talked about. So
you know, she's my her. She's my crush.
I know. She knows it. I'm not, crush.
She knows it.
It's nothing new.
It's nothing new. She knows
it's
it.
It's nothing new. That's old news.
It's unrequited love.
So let's talk about these two news stories. Of course, 2 weeks ago, I talked about this a little bit solo. And I think I talked about it in a really affirmative way. Anderson Cooper coming out. I found his letter quite compelling. That
it's interesting because I posted it on my that he had sent to Andrew Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
I posted that on my Facebook wall, and it started a discussion. Now, I understand that people were frustrated with him for not coming out.
Right.
I understand that. I happen to accept his explanation.
Yep.
Somebody wrote on my Facebook wall, sometimes an explanation, actually Brandon, who was just here,
yep,
said sometimes an explanation is an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Sheila, also a playwright, wrote sometimes an explanation is an explanation.
Yep.
And I thought that was very clever because for some reason now I'm usually the first to, I'm actually quite, in my life has been very controversial, but I will out a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if they're doing something negative to the community, but just in general. And for some reason, Anderson Cooper has never offended me because I've never felt like he was in the closet. He's always, everybody I know who's ever seen him in New York,
right,
he's lived a very open life. It's just he doesn't talk about it because he's a journalist and his idea is that he wants to be the interviewer, not that he doesn't want to be the subject of it. Now, of course, that has changed since he's had a talk show, which is why I think, which is what prompted this. Some people theorize that it was because it's not getting the greatest ratings. I think that's not true. It's been renewed for another season, so obviously it's getting some ratings.
Yeah.
I think it's too easy just to write it off as far as that, but that also may be true. What I
also
didn't like,
at Pride Month. I mean,
Pride Month.
Time.
What I didn't like, mm-hmm, is not so much. I understand that people have issues with it, and I'm curious to hear what other,
yep,
people have to say. What I didn't appreciate and why I posted it on my Facebook wall was there was a snarky response to him coming out. A very like, oh, newsflash, peanut butter and jelly is really delicious, or like, yeah, like. Okay, I get it, but walk a mile in someone's shoes. The boy is the child of the woman who was called the
poor little rich girl.
Poor little rich girl. So his family, his mother, his existence has been under scrutiny since the second he was born.
Yeah.
And then he chose this career in which he tried to sort of blend in and go, especially at the beginning of his career, and be in Bosnia and Somalia.
And he didn't
Somalia.
Take, I mean, his name is Cooper, it's not
He
Vanderbilt.
Did not take the Vanderbilt name. So he has
tried to make his own way.
Tried to make his own way and tried not to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so his explanation to me, now I get other people don't, to me, I buy his explanation much more than I buy Latifah's or I buy Jodie Foster's or John Travolta's or any of those people. For some reason, that's just...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that...
I just didn't like the snark. It's one thing to disagree.
That.
I didn't like the attitude about it.
I feel like, you know, he's never caused our community any harm. He has done stories on bullying and transgender.
He has aggressively done those stories.
Yeah, aggressively done those kinds of stories. He's not said he's not gay. He's not had lawsuits against people calling him gay.
Nope.
You know, so I mean, I feel like...
Well, he doesn't sue the Advocate every time they out him.
That's exactly right. He doesn't say anything when the out puts him on the cover of their issue, you know, whatever. You know, I think
he doesn't not hang out with Kathy Griffin.
Right. He doesn't, yeah, he doesn't
I mean,
have
seriously.
A beard. He doesn't have a beard.
He doesn't have a beard.
Like...
He doesn't traipse around with some...
Yeah.
He doesn't do the Rosie O'Donnell thing and pretend there's some pretty girl that he thinks is real cute, which she did for years with the Tom Cruise thing.
Yeah.
Which was an evasive tactic.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I get it.
Ellen does the same thing with Justin Timberlake, but she's already out.
She was out already.
She was out.
But the thing that bothers me was just the snark about it.
Yeah, and I think that I get, you know, that he is a journalist and he, you know, wants to have the news just be heard as the news without his editorial slant on it. I think, here's where I would say. I would say that I feel like he, I don't quite understand what took so much time in the past year or two. And I don't know his life. And I don't know what's going on in his life. I would say from a public perspective, he has been very editorial around Katrina, around all kinds of things that are causes that he feels that are important. And I think that there is something interesting, you know, I was talking to somebody about this weekend, about being, you know, at least being GLB, not about being T, but being GLB, where we pass. Many of us can pass
right.
and blend. And, you know, you can be, you know, you can be a news
anchor. Not me, but maybe, well, yes, you can.
But I can't. I mean, maybe I can. I don't know. Maybe I can't. I can't now because I've been out for my, you know, for 20 years. But
I hear what you're saying.
But I think it's interesting. Like, you don't get to control how somebody sees you deliver the news. And that gets done with ratings. That gets done with other things. You know, Ann Curry just got booted. They're going to try this new woman. You know, why do we like Matt Lauer? We don't like somebody else. You know, it's like, you know, no African-American who is on the Chicago News or on the national news gets to, like, care that somebody doesn't want to hear their news from a black man or woman or a Latin man or woman or a Polish with, a, you know, in Chicago, all these last names, you know, that are Polish descent. You know, but as gay people, we can be Anderson Cooper and we can be somebody who is extremely, you know, mainstream, milquetoast. I'm white. I'm male.
Well, and that's what my friend Brandon was just saying.
And I don't have to then have anything. And I just think it's one of those things. I mean, it's neither here nor there. I'm not arguing anything. It's a fact. Like, we as gay people are not purple. Therefore, there are choices. We're not polka dot or purple.
We can choose to come out.
We're not a color. And, we're not even an ethnicity.
He wants to be able to interview people, in particular, about these issues, whether it was bullying or whatever, gay marriage, and not seem to have an agenda.
Right.
But the argument is he does have an agenda.
He does have an agenda.
A liberal agenda, a gay agenda. Now, which that brings us to this thing you're talking about color. Mm-hmm. Very interesting because this week, supposedly...
well, we did the news story.
Right.
Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean, who is a songwriter and a singer.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know who he was. I was like, Billy Ocean? For a second, I was like, is it Billy Ocean? Or like, who's coming out?
He... I became aware of him, to be honest with you, because he wrote the... he wrote, first of all, he's adorable. Secondly, he wrote my favorite song on the new, the most recent Beyonce.
Okay.
Which is about a year old now, Beyonce 4, which, by the way, is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a song called I Miss You, and it's so different for her, and it's so, and
I loved it. Is this where her baby's voice is like on?
No.
That's her husband put that on.
Yeah, that's her husband. No, it's just this beautiful, beautiful song, and then somebody educated me that that's Frank Ocean, and he's in this group called, Odd Future. Now, the thing about Odd Future that's curious is that the lead of Odd Future, or the creative Odd, is Tyler, the Creator, who is a rapper. And he was taken to task a couple of years ago, if you remember, for using the word faggot over 230 times on one CD. These two people, Frank Ocean, who, to finish up, was on the news.
How old is
supposedly
he?
Supposedly, he's in his 20s. Young.
Okay, he's young.
He's young. Has supposedly expressed in his lyrics and in the liner notes of his solo album, which is coming out in the next 2 weeks, that he fell in love with a man several years ago. He does not say that he's gay. He does not say that he's bisexual so far. Mm-hmm. He says he has written songs on his new CD, his first solo CD, in which he talks about loving a man. And what that was about. And he wrote a beautiful... I mean, the published words that he has written, supposedly...
Are released,
are really beautiful and really well written. He's quite an...
Written for Bieber.
And I actually saw... I went sort of YouTubed him and looked up. There's one song called Novocaine. Mm-hmm. An amazing video for a song called Novocaine, which is really amazing. I think this is just my impression from the songwriting that I've seen him do, heard him do. He's a major talent. But if this is all true and it is not just PR, because there was a rapper who named an album I'm Gay, to sort of, just to be controversial, he's not gay, but just sort of push that envelope.
Yep.
If this turns out to be true, now Brandon, who was here earlier, took me to task for doubting him, that why don't I doubt Anderson Cooper, but...
Well, we'll know in a couple weeks.
We'll know in a couple weeks. Well, because Anderson Cooper,
and he will be
my point to Brandon would be that
it.
Anderson Cooper said, the fact is I'm gay, whereas this is all sort of hearsay and... he wrote this thing, but whether or not it's true, until I have not seen him interviewed on anything.
Well, you know, people are not going to not ask him this.
Well, he's
when
on.
He comes out.
I wish I could remember, but I know that next week mm-hmm. he will be on one of the major nighttime talk shows, either Leno or Fallon.
Okay.
I just heard it announced this week.
Okay.
So he is going to have to do that, answer those questions very
yeah.
soon. And of course, he does have an album coming out. And so it'll be very interesting. What I find interesting is he will be the very first, really a pioneer in the hip-hop. Because he's not just a singer. He's not just an R&B or a pop singer. He's really part of the hip-hop world, which is notoriously homophobic.
Yes.
Witnessed by his colleague, Tyler, yep. who, by the way, tweeted how proud he was of him.
Yep.
Russell Simmons, who mm-hmm. is arguably the sort of the granddaddy of the hip-hop scene.
Absolutely.
Who's always been an ally, or many years ago sort of converted to being an ally.
We would think that Beyonce would be an ally
absolutely. She tweeted as well. Jay-Z tweeted.
Justin
But Russell Simmons wrote a gorgeous... Russell Simmons, who is really at the epicenter of hip-hop in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Really like the godfather of hip-hop.
Great speaker, too.
He wrote a really eloquent letter about how proud he was of this young man, and how other people in the hip hop world need to pay attention and grow the, basically he said without saying it, grow the fuck up.
You know, it's really interesting too, because you know, this Big Entertainment Weekly article that came out right before Anderson Cooper came out, and you know, it was essentially gay Hollywood and how many people are out now, and you know, you're looking at all
the
pictures
ways that we come out.
And the ways in which we come out, and the pictures are all these men, you know, and it's really, really interesting. It was like there was this championing of these I would say 40 something women coming out, Martina coming out around 40, or maybe she was a little before 40, but around 40, Billie Jean King post retirement, you know, Martina, the couple of athletes, you know, Rosie O'Donnell,
Meredith Baxter. She was born in her 50s.
Yeah, she was in her 50s, but 40 and older. Ellen DeGeneres, over 40, or at 40. You know, all these women that have come out, you know, and then these guys who are coming out more like in their 30s, we're starting with this, mm-hmm. we're starting to see 20s, but we're really not seeing many young women come out. The young, you know, 20-something females in Hollywood are not coming out.
They're few and far between. Sarah Paulson came out.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
But she came out by proxy of being with an older lesbian woman, you know? Yeah. And I don't know if she self-identifies as lesbian now or straight, you know? She's a huge relationship with you know, with men.
You said that there was a woman, which
there,
I...
There is this Jamaican reggae singer that we just did in our news story, Diana King, which, you know, I am not familiar really with her either, but
it's funny, I sort of avoid reggae music, although I find it beautiful, old school anyway, like
Jamaican.
Bob Marley, because it is such a homophobic culture.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just really, I'm going to be really interested to see, you know, if this is, if we're on some sort of axis turning now, and with the president speaking of same-sex marriage, and
him being African-American.
Did Frank Ocean make that, was that, you know, significant with the NAACP, President Obama, NAACP, now a young black man coming out in hip-hop, you know. It's just going to be interesting to collect these dots.
You know,
everything's a game changer with Obama, I think.
With Obama, but also with this kid, this Frank Ocean, because he's so much a part of the, he's not on the periphery of it.
Right.
He is at the center of it. He is writing songs for the most successful people
yeah.
in hip hop.
Yeah.
Beyonce, he works with Jay-Z, he works with Kanye, he wrote a song for Kanye and Jay-Z's last album.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the,
yeah.
that is the white hot center of the most homophobic genre
yeah.
we have besides reggae.
Yeah. But I would venture to say that a lot of these leaders in the entertainment world, the people you've mentioned, are not homophobic. And I would say that it's more about their fans dictating, and this is a longer conversation, you know, too, that we had around.
Also, they're older, and I think they came
Carrie
to it.
Carrie Underwood, you know, saying
right.
in the country
music world. They should backed off a little bit.
Well, you know, whatever she did or didn't, you know, when you say something, you can't unsay it. So it's like, I
yeah.
think that it's just, it is interesting that I think there's some push happening. You know,
I think there is. I think it's just going to be very, very interesting. Like somebody like Russell Simmons, you're right, the leaders. But Russell Simmons had to have his own sort of like evolution
of course.
On the issue. So it's interesting for someone as young as this guy And it will be interesting to see. I mean, I, unfortunately, because I'm a glutton for punishment, went to a Twitter page to see all the comments that he got.
And you'll get both. I mean, Shelley Wright talked about that. You know, she gets comments from country music people.
This was violent.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, it was violent about how, I mean, all these young boys saying that they would, you know, they're going to, I mean, what's bizarre is that, like, they're going to, like, never listen to Frank Ocean again, or they're going to shoot him, or they're going to fuck him to show, like, it's weird that you're
that
attacking
doesn't make
for
any
being
logical.
Exactly. It's really scary, the insecurity of these young men. And I mean all young men. I'm not talking about black, white, hip hop, pop, yeah, country, whatever. Just the insecurity of these people around this issue
and their sexuality. It's really interesting. I want to shift gears just a little bit because we want to wrap up, but I know you saw Magic Mike last week.
I saw
Magic Mike this week, and we're in a pretty intense conversation, but I think it's of note to talk about Magic Mike. And you know, I invited a bunch of my straight women friends for a night out to go see Magic Mike and eat food, and you know, here it's coming from the lesbian, but I was really curious. I really wanted to see it. And you know, they say lesbians like the gay male porn, but I'm not one of them.
I
appreciate a handsome man.
I call that Magic Abs, that movie.
Yeah, Magic Abs. But really, really interesting. You know, there's this, for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm not going to blow any, well, pun intended. Well, actually, no pun intended. There's no sex in this movie. And it's really, really interesting.
It's implied, but that's it.
But there's no sex in this movie, so we should just say that. You know, it's really interesting that I was talking to one of my friends walking out of it after we were having dinner, and I said, you know, it's like that speech Matthew McConaughey makes in the very first second of the movie, so it's not ruining anything about the game rules for being at this club, this gentleman's club, or this ladies' club, to watch gentlemen dance. You know, you can't touch it, you don't get to blah, 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 do you get to whatever, and then he makes a joke about, well, it seems it's all against the law, and he says, I think there's a lot of lawbreakers in the house, you know. But just really interesting that, you know, I thought it was a solid movie in many ways, because I thought what it did was it showed you how hollow it is. I mean, it's actually not about sex. It's not about sex. It's not about power. You know, it's about fantasy and about illusion. And even if you are one of the dancers and you're inside of it and you think you're doing it for the money or for whatever, just the things you want to get to, that's also a lie. That there's a lie.
Right. Ultimately, it's about, I mean, in a way, in a lot of ways, it's a movie about our times, because it is for these boys who look like that.
Yep.
And the same way for girls who look equivalent.
Yep.
It is an easy way to what they think is the American dream.
Yep.
Right. Which is money and attention, and that instant sort of like that way in which culturally we're obsessed with fame. So in that world, they're famous. They've got cash coming in. Mm-hmm. They're being adored, which, you know, we live in this Kardashian, post-Kardashian world. And right, the movie ends up being what I think is really the hat trick of this movie, which I think, not a great movie. I would give it a B-plus movie. It's certainly not Moonrise Kingdom, by the way, which is, Moonrise Kingdom is the best movie I've seen in 5 years.
Yeah, I heard it was fantastic.
Interesting to hear what Richard had to say about it, but I loved it. Anyway, so Magic Mike, there's a hat trick that gets pulled off with Matthew McConaughey, which is great, which is, at first he plays the goofy, sexy, hippy-dippy, muscly guy, because, you know, it's like he's a hippie, but with muscles, right?
Yeah.
And he plays that guy. And
he's dressed like an IML guy.
Right, and he's always so like, even Matthew McConaughey as himself is always a little bit embarrassing in his sort of, like, incredible vulnerability of being like, I'm this big, goofy dude who says goofy things. So you see him, and you're like, oh, I recognize him, and it's nice to see him, and he's sexy and goofy, and I'm a little embarrassed that he's so open and says goofy things. Then, so he plays that. And then we see these moments where the camera stays on him just a little bit longer than it needs to. And we see these moments of doubt.
Fear
and aging and
breaking down.
Breaking down in irrelevance. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens is, the third part of it is that we then see the flip side of this same guy. Mm-hmm. He's not playing it any differently. Mm-hmm. It's just that together with the director, they're showing us the flip side of this guy that we recognize. And I think that's the smartest part of the movie.
Yeah, I think there are some smart angles to this movie. It's not exactly what
problem
you
is,
think
Channing
it is.
Channing Tatum is not the greatest actor that ever lived.
No, he's not, but he's charming enough. I didn't think he was even going to be as good as he was. So
interesting.
My bar was so low that I think for many people's bars were so low.
Go to theguardian.com, mm-hmm. the magazine The Guardian, mm-hmm. and read the straight guy who wrote a review or an article about going with his wife
to see Magic Mike.
He wrote an article, really brilliant, especially to our community. Straight guy married, about how bisexual he is about movies, and about he learned how to seduce. As a nerdy young guy, he loved movies with sexy men in them. Mm-hmm. He said, when I watch people kiss in the movies, I'm watching the guy as much as I'm watching the girl and getting turned on, not because I want to kiss him, but because he wrote this really interesting article about how bisexual we are at the movies, and how he was the one who wanted to see Magic Mike, and that it turns him on because he, wish I could remember his name, I can't, I just read it, as a kid, he learned how to seduce from watching Cary Grant, from watching Richard Gere.
You self-actualize. You idealize. It's like, who do you want to step into? Who do you want to become?
So his wife didn't want to go. She was like, it looks like the stupidest movie ever. And he's like, no, I really want to go.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting article. I recommend it.
The Guardian.
It's an interesting perspective on that film and the appeal and the way that it is being marketed to women and gay men. Right, and not to straight men. Mm-hmm. And so when you say to straight men, you want to go see Magic Mike, I'm not going to see Magic Mike. I mean, not the straight men in my life, obviously.
Right.
But it is deliberately...
But it might not be the top choice even for the straight men in
right.
your life.
But what's interesting is this guy's take on that.
Well, and Soderbergh adds a lot of credibility
of course
to
he does,
it,
yes.
of course. So, well, listen, everybody, we got to let you go. That's been a very full show with Mitchell Fain on a little cooler day here in July, and I hope you guys continue to have a good month. I hope it stays cool for you. Mitchell, your allergies get better.
Me, I hope so too.
So we can play some cornhole in the backyard.
Amy, I really need you to stop saying that.
I'm going to go buy one right now on the website. Have a great, great week, whatever you're doing. We're going to have Robert Hughes, our new Windy City Gay idol, on the next show, and then I'll talk to you about some travel, because I'm going to be doing some travel here pretty soon. I'll tell you all about it here in a couple weeks. So have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.